was always by duplicating systems. More than a system, a solution. And Tyler, you may fire when ready.
So we're going to keep up the topic of college basketball. And obviously we know what happened last week with Duke playing North Carolina, where Zion Williamson blew out a shoe 30 seconds into the game and has not been seen since. They lost that game to North Carolina. They beat Syracuse this past Saturday. Then they went on the road and lost to Virginia Tech on Tuesday night. So, and things are kind of up in the air. Is Zion coming back? Is he not coming back? If Williamson doesn't come back, he's led the team in scoring for 11 of their games this season. What's Duke going to be like in the tournament without him?
I think Duke would be in danger of being like a second round exit.
Really?
Like Duke's not going to be any worse than a 2 seed.
Yeah.
They're not going to lose to a 16. They're not going to lose to a 15. But if they get, if they draw some team that zones them like Syracuse does,
right?
That, you know, like Washington might be the only Pac-12 team that makes the tournament, and I could see them being an 8 seed and
right.
being like a dangerous out for somebody like Duke in the tournament in the second round, because Duke is, they are not a great shooting team.
No.
They've
not.
Been a good shooting team twice this year, and that's their 2 wins over Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
But they rank in the, like the 300s in 3-point shooting. So I think without Zion, they would be in danger of being out in weekend number one.
Think they might get upset in the first round?
Not if they're – I don't think they'd lose to a 15, and they wouldn't lose to a 16 if somehow they hung on and ended up as a 1 seed. Because
right.
they should still – they've got Miami and Wake Forest next,
which
both at home.
Win those games, but then close it out at North Carolina next Saturday.
So, yeah, let's just say Zion, he keeps sitting. So they win these next two, so that puts them at 26-4,
mm-hmm.
and then they lose to North Carolina. So they're 26-5, and they end up 14-4 in ACC play.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I mean, does he come back for the ACC tournament?
Does he come back at all?
Does he come back at all? But, I mean they're at worst, they're a 2 seed.
Yeah. I mean, if you're him, what do you do?
Well, we talked about this last week, and like to me, with all everyone's got an opinion on what Zion should do, like he should do what he wants to do.
Right.
And so I don't know if I was him what I would do. Like maybe he enjoys playing college basketball and he's it's my once in a lifetime opportunity to play in the NCAA tournament, and I want to do that and I will. But if he also made the choice that said, you know what, that freaked me out, and I'm glad I'm not more seriously injured than that, but my career flashed in front of my eyes and I don't want to play anymore at Duke, fair enough too.
Yeah.
I support him on that. If he wants to come back, good for him too. If he's getting something out of the college experience that playing for Duke and with an opportunity to win a national championship and maybe play in a Final Four, if he wants to do that, good for him too. But like, just the, he should do whatever he wants to do.
Right, it's his future. No, I understand that. And you know, he's, if he does end up getting hurt or something, he's missing out on millions and millions of dollars. Now the not playing because I don't want to get hurt, I think it's a better argument in football than it is in basketball. But given, I mean, what just happened to him, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he just sat for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I mean, it is crazy. Like back in, was it December? Maybe it was the beginning of conference play when, you know, Scottie Pippen made some headlines because he was saying, I wouldn't play if I was Zion. I would just get ready for the draft. And then lo and behold, watching the biggest game of the season.
Yeah.
You know, people are paying $10,000 for a ticket to that game.
It doesn't
and,
last a full minute.
Yeah, 33 seconds in, he's doing the splits and like limping off the court, and he's not coming back, and he's got some knee injury. And yeah, great. It's not as severe as it was feared that it could have been, and maybe he can come back and play. And if, again, if he decides he wants to, good for him. And if he decides that the best decision for me to make is to not play anymore and just get ready for the NBA and the draft, then good for him on that front too.
Well, I'm sure the television partners with the NCAA tournament really hope he plays, because that guy, he moves the needle.
Well, and I guess it would be worth discussing, and it's been brought up many times, that the great Cincinnati team with Kenyon Martin, he got hurt right before the tournament. That team was, I think, destined to maybe be a 1 seed or a 2 seed, and they ended up like an 8 seed or something.
Mm-hmm.
And the selection committee 100% took into account that your record is this for the season, but that was with Kenyon Martin, and you're not the same team without him, so it knocked them back from their seeding. Could they take the same approach with Duke and without Zion Williamson? I doubt they would do that because it's Duke. Mm-hmm. So I think even if you found out he wasn't going to play, I still don't think Duke's any worse than a two seed. But I think without him, they would be a candidate for an early exit.
I think that's a legitimate argument. Wouldn't be surprised by that.
I'll be honest with you. Even with Zion, I mean, they get matched up with the wrong team that can throw a zone at them.
Yeah.
Because even with Zion, they are not a good shooting team.
Yeah.
They could still be prone to an early upset.
Right. No, at the beginning of the season, I didn't think they were going to lose any games. Then when they actually started losing games, I was like, okay, yeah, there's definitely some deficiencies in this team that even having Zion isn't going to mask.
Well, I mean, when you beat Kentucky 118-84,
yeah,
I get it, where it looks like
everybody.
Yeah, I mean, this team's not going to lose a game, and then a couple weeks later, they were losing to Gonzaga.
Right. So, moving on at the 5-5, we've already talked about the AAF and the XFL earlier, and point blank, because I mentioned there's been some off-the-field issues with the AAF only 3 weeks in. They had the issue with the first round of paying players didn't exactly go how it was supposed to go. And 2 days ago, a man is suing the league, claiming it was his idea first.
Oh, wow.
So with all this stuff going on, how long does this league last?
Maybe they squeeze another year out of it. How long is this TV deal?
That I'm not sure of.
Because they do have a deal with CBS, right?
Right. But it's interesting because they're playing games on just a multitude of channels, which kind of fall under the CBS banner, but I feel like if CBS was really trying to get them exposed, they would put them on the main station more consistently.
Well, you know, one thing I've noticed is, and I don't know if it was a live game or if it was recorded, but I've noticed on my channel guide that the NFL Network has had games on.
Are they showing
them live?
Yes, those are live games. The Atlanta played 2 weeks ago on the NFL Network.
All right.
They played San Diego.
So these games have been on the NFL Network. Something else that I noticed too was a few weeks ago, one of the AAF quarterbacks threw a pass behind his back.
Yes, that was against Atlanta.
Okay. Well, and Patrick Mahomes retweeted it, the video of it, and
yeah,
said something about, you know, because Mahomes is now kind of known for those no-look passes
he was doing.
He's
a trick shot quarterback.
Yeah, so he acknowledged it. So there's the reigning MVP of the NFL that acknowledge something that happened in the AAF. The NFL Network is showing games. So this isn't like a league competing against the NFL,
no,
like the USFL. The NFL,
they understand what they are.
Right. And I wonder if the whole, at the end of the day, whoever came up with the AAF, like ultimately what they want is for the NFL to buy them out and absorb them in some way.
Yeah, that would make a lot of sense. I mean, the games haven't been bad. The football's actually been pretty decent.
Really?
I mean, it's compared to like what the XFL was, you know, it's not hard to watch. I'll say that.
All right. The XFL was terrible.
The XFL was horrible. At least these guys are playing decent football. And it's interesting because like you can watch the NFL and you watch college football and you have your base level of skill that like, you know, 80 to 90% of the players play at. But then you also have superstars that play above that. The AAF doesn't have superstars. Everybody's literally playing on the same level. Some play below it. There are some bad players out there, but it's like everybody's kind of like just on this even playing field, which is kind of a weird way to watch football.
Well, like some of the guys that are in the league have played in the NFL.
Yeah.
Some of them maybe never did, but none of the guys in the league were like, would you even say, were they good NFL players? None of them were great NFL players, or any of them even good NFL players.
Yeah, I can't think of any like good NFL players. I mean, we know what Trent Richardson looked like in the league. I mean, he bounced back when he was in Canada, and he's actually playing pretty well for the Irons. But yeah, no superstars from the NFL. I mean, definitely big names: Denard Robinson, Aaron Murray on the Atlanta team.
Well,
alone.
Trent Richardson was the third pick of the draft.
Yeah, he just couldn't read those NFL defenses and, you know, run the ball like he did in college because he was just a freak of an athlete then. But, you know, he's a possible redemption story that's going to come out of this season. But other than that, you know, no real superstars. I mean, some of these quarterbacks are like, who's that guy? Who do you play for? I've never heard of him before.
Yeah.
You know.
Like when the USFL existed, If you go back and look, they had good players.
Jim Kelly.
But I don't think. Those guys weren't. They weren't joining the USFL with the idea of one day being in the NFL. They were directly competing with the NFL. Where I would think with this AAF, those guys are like, man, maybe I'll.
Yeah, they're trying to get back to the league.
Yeah, get into it or back into it.
That is their goal, and that's why they brought in such notable coaches like Steve Spurrier, like Mike Singletary, because they understand how things are in the NFL, and they're going to prep these guys for that. So, and when you, I guess in this league, when you develop a superstar, he's going to be gone as soon as he rises to prominence because he's going to go to the NFL.
Yeah, I'm gonna give it at least one more year.
Okay.
Now, the XFL even lasted 2 years in its first go-around.
They didn't get a second season, did they? I thought they only played one.
Did they?
Yeah, they only played one. They had the intentions of a second one, but...
And they never started
it? NBC pulled out and everything, and it just fell apart.
Yeah, I think this one will... They'll have at least one more go at it.
So an additional question on this topic, which lasts longer, the AAF or the Masked Singer on Fox?
I think the Masked Singer is going to last longer because people are... That's got some buzz to it.
Really?
Yeah.
They wrapped up their first season last night.
I feel like there's some audience out there that's... And who did it turn out? Like Gladys Knight was the...
T-Pain was the monster. I think that was like the big... reveal. I don't know how it works. I haven't really watched it. I looked up like what the results were.
Well, I got sucked into the first episode because it was bizarre. And the reason I never went back is because at the end of the first episode, they unmasked one singer. And yeah. I was not satisfied by that.
Well, I think last night they unmasked like three.
Okay.
I don't know how this show works. I just like saw they were on their finale last night and I looked up the results today. But it just seems odd, and I can't see it lasting super long.
Well, how it worked was they had these people came out, and they were celebrities in costumes, yeah. And they had these, I think there were like three judges or something.
Yeah.
And they would try, they weren't even judges. I think they were like trying just to guess who the Masked Singer was.
They weren't grading their musical talent.
Right, because then I think there was an audience vote of who got eliminated and who got to go on. And at the end of each episode, whoever got eliminated, they would reveal. Because the only one I watched, and I'm ashamed to admit that I guessed who it was, but it was Antonio Brown the Masked Singer.
Because that was going on when he was having the deal in Pittsburgh.
Did one of them turn out to be Von Miller?
I don't think so. I know Terry Bradshaw was one of them.
Because there was one that I thought was going to be Von Miller.
I don't think the only other NFL player I saw on the list was Terry Bradshaw.
Oh, but I mean, it was because like those judges were, it was dumb because they were guessing like, I think that's Peyton Manning or then even Justin Bieber. Like, let me tell you what Peyton Manning's not doing right now. He's not dressed up in a unicorn outfit singing on TV.
Yeah.
I promise you Peyton Manning is not doing that. And I promise you Justin Bieber is not doing that. But they would like make these outrageous guesses of like, these really popular people like that. No, that person is not on this show doing this right now.
They have better things to do.
Yeah. So I guess like Antonio Brown, because I remembered like, he had been on Dancing with the Stars.
Right.
And then the clues he gave too. And I went, well, okay. So he's been on a show like this before and the clues added up. And anyway, I'm not bragging or proud to admit that I actually did guess that Antonio Brown was. I don't remember what he was dressed as, but that's the last time I watched it. I guess it was the first episode.
Well, they've made it through one season. Let's see.
I think it comes back.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on. Obviously, spring training's just started. Ranking out of the major sports, how would you rank the preseasons based on relevance? We'll just stick with the main three, MLB, NBA, NFL.
All right, the NBA is like the least relevant.
Least relevant.
I think the NFL, because the NFL, there's more of, like, baseball has all these non-roster invitees, but these baseball teams get to camp, and they know what their 25-man roster is going to be.
Yeah, you may get the occasional surprise
from
spring training that can make the opening day list, but it's not... every year.
Yeah, let's take the Braves for an example. Is there maybe is the fifth starter maybe up in the air?
Possibly.
Yeah. But I think the NFL, there's more roster fighting going on.
That's fair.
In the NFL during the preseason. So I would rank the NFL preseason number one, followed by spring training, and then the NBA preseason. I don't even know why they have that.
Yeah, not like anybody cares about it.
And that lasts like a month, doesn't it?
It does.
They play like a decent number of games.
Their preseason and their playoffs last too long.
Yeah.
I feel like the NBA playoffs are too long.
Well, I like how, I guess Major League Baseball, they went to, now that gambling is legal in so many places, and they've been throwing up, you could bet on preseason baseball games just like you could bet on, you know, anything.
Yeah.
And baseball doesn't want, they don't want that happening. And their claim is like, because these aren't really games.
Yeah.
Because like the teams aren't trying to win.
Yeah, they're trying to figure out roster, yeah, and who's doing what, that kind of stuff.
Like I say, well, so what? There's still a winner and a loser, and there's ways to, you know, you get that information and exploit it. You figure out, like, well, you know, this team's going to start its regulars, and this other team's not, and they plan on throwing their, you know, their top three arms in this game.
Maybe it may be easier to figure things out in the preseason.
Well, yeah, I think you can, when you're trying to fight the bookie,
yeah,
you can you could probably exploit them, in, at least in that case. They're not going to be as sharp about spring training games as they are once the regular season rolls around.
Okay, question number four of the 5 at 5. On the other night, LeBron James and the Lakers lost to the Grizzlies, in which LeBron James was very critical of his teammates after the game in the post-game locker room. He then proceeded to go on Instagram and congratulate himself for being the only player in the top 10 all-time in points and assists. So where does LeBron rank in all-time sports narcissist?
He's getting high, isn't
getting
he?
High.
Yeah. Well, it's like, and he went to Los Angeles, too. He's just positioning himself for his post-NBA career.
Yeah, and I saw last night he wouldn't even join the team huddle.
Oh, really?
I forget who they were playing, but they were huddling. He was off to the side.
Yeah. I mean, it has to be an odd chemistry right now, because all of the guys on the team know that he wants to trade them.
He wants
them.
To get rid of all of
yeah.
them.
Yeah. He wants
the
to
coach,
get
the coach too.
He wants to get rid of all of them and bring in Anthony Davis and see if someone else won't come and join him. You know, Kevin Durant, I guess, is going to be the biggest free agent out there this offseason.
Is it unrealistic to think that he could one day be a player coach? Like, legitimately
yeah.
be a player coach?
Well, I mean, he kind of already is, I guess.
But, I mean, like, literally, he is actually the coach of the team as well.
No, that's not unrealistic.
It's not unrealistic.
Yeah, no. It'd be unrealistic to think that one day he comes back and he's a coach, because he's out in Los Angeles, because when he's done playing, he's going to be producing movies, TVs, and
well, they're already
stuff
making
like
a Space Jam, too,
with
him
in it. Yeah.
That's going to go over well.
Well, yeah, I mean, Michael Jordan, that's going to be another one. Which Space Jam is greater, Michael Jordan's or LeBron's? And then Michael Jordan's is going to be the answer.
Yeah, no, with that. I mean,
Bill Murray was in that one.
And that helps the whole Jordan versus LeBron debate. You know, you can split hairs about that all day long. Michael Jordan didn't talk about how great he was. He just was, and you talked about it.
Yeah, but it's funny like how it's, you know, LeBron, you know, the reaction to him, and he's not in huddles and stuff. I think Jordan used to punch his teammates out in practice. So, like, he wasn't a great teammate,
no, he's not
either.
Great, but it wasn't as publicized.
Yeah, but this is just a different age now.
Yeah, that's
where,
true.
But, you know, and I like, if Twitter or Instagram existed with Jordan, do we not think Jordan would have gone on Instagram at some point and pointed out how he was he had won like 6 MVPs?
Maybe not to the degree that LeBron does, though.
I don't know.
Because, I mean,
I don't know that he wouldn't have done that.
You know, congrats, LeBron. Sincerely, me. You know,
yeah, I've got to be honest. I don't know that Michael Jordan, I don't know that he wouldn't have gone on Twitter or Instagram to proclaim how great he was.
It's just another iron to throw in that debate, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, wrapping up the 5 at 5, here's your sports trivia question of the day. Can you name the 5 FBS schools that don't feature university in their official name?
Yeah, there's Army, Navy, Air Force, there's all the academies, there's the Institute of Technology, and Boston College.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
I thought you might get tripped up a little bit on Georgia Tech.
No, that one. Come on, they're so close. Plus their brand is building,
that's
Tyler.
True.
They're gonna be playing games in Mercedes-Benz. They're gonna own the 404.
With the coach that doesn't like to wear socks.
Yeah, that's their big push. They're gonna own the 404.
Which, it's interesting, because if, like, if Georgia Tech ever ended up in Mercedes-Benz, we would have so many more fans than them.
Yeah, they would find out just how fast they don't own the 404. You know, Georgia plays in Mercedes-Benz a lot too, but they're championship games.
Yeah, those games matter a little more.
Yeah, they're SEC title games, and they even played the national championship game there.
Now have fun hosting Clemson in Mercedes-Benz. See how many fans you get in that one.
Yeah. Notre Dame's the other one.
Notre Dame's the other one. They got like two more to be announced.
Yeah.
But
trying to build that brand. So, hard to forget about them.
It's funny because Collins, you know, he brags about how the game at Bobby Dodd and the backdrop of Atlanta is unbeatable. Then why are you playing at Mercedes-Benz?
I know.
Like,
you know, straight cash, homie.
I guess so.
Yeah. I almost said Notre Dame, but then they are the university.
I thought that too. So this question actually came up in my sports marketing class yesterday. And that's what I thought. I was like, Notre Dame? But it's like, no, it's the University of
Notre
Dame.
They are the University of. See, so. It's the three military academies, yep. Boston College, and then the Institute of Technology down the road.
This trivia question is a little more of a softball than usual. So I'll let you off easy today.
All right, there you go. That's the 5 at 5, brought to you, as always, by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution.